Here we go. We are starting Yevamos. Yevamos is very exciting for me. I'm excited, although we might get lost and complicated. Welcome to you. I know you're coming from like the Alps or something. But here we've got Sarah. She's the one that we're going to focus on a lot because she's the one who may or may not be related to the second husband in some way or another. And then we've got Shimon. He's got this little sword over here. He's going to die. He's going to die all the time. So he's always the one that we're looking at and saying, okay, he's the one that's causing Yevamos. Okay? So we've got Sarah and Shimon. They've got a happy marriage. They roll around with their non-seat over here. And then you've got Reuven. Ultimately, Shimon, as you can tell, is a warrior, and he ultimately dies. Shimon's dead. With no kids, right? These kids don't exist yet. Okay, we'll talk about the kids later. So here's Reuven. Now Reuven is sitting over here, and he's got his own wife. Leah. I can't remember which one's first in the Mefarshim.
Reuven's married to Leah. Shimon's married. Reuven's married to Sarah. Shimon's married to Leah.
Oh, the original wife is Leah? Oh, I'm just going in the order of the Yemahos. Either way, well, we won't establish who's who yet, but this is Reuven, we know that, and he's got two wives. She has to marry Reuven, right? The second brother. Okay, we'll get there later. She's got to marry Reuven. Most of the beginning of Yevamos is talking about these two women, right? One of these two women is related to Shimon. Is related to, the first wife. Okay? Sorry, no. Related to Shimon.
Related to the one who died.
The one who died. Is that true? The one who died?
No, actually to Reuven.
No, it's related to Reuven.
Yeah.
Related to Reuven. Right? So, I got the wives mixed up. Our first mix up. Shimon has two wives. When Shimon dies, they have to figure out if they can marry... Yes, this is what it is. If they can marry Reuven. So Reuven is coming over here and looking at each of these women. Are you related to me? Are you related to me? Right? And if either one of them are related, that's what's called a tzaras... It's called an erva. There are a lot of moving parts, so stay with me. The daf is short, but once we get the foundational principles down, it goes pretty quick. Okay, so Reuven is coming over to these two women and seeing if he can marry either one of them. If this one, both of them, by the way, and this is foundational principle in Yevamos, both of them are already ervas to Reuven. That's what's called an eshes ach. You're not allowed to marry your brother's sister.
Your brother's wife.
Brother's wife. Yes, brother's sister would be your sister. But your brother's wife, eshes ach. Once you're not allowed to marry Eishes Ach, you would think, okay, well then why are we even asked this question? The Torah specifically says that for Yibum, you marry your brother's wife. Okay? So that one's out the window. The reason why that's important to remember is, if things happen in different orders, so then that could be that the Eishes Ach comes back into play. Okay? Just leave that in the back of your mind. Okay, so here Reuven is looking at these two women. Let's say one of these two women, and this is going to sound crazy, and this is why we talk about my own grandpa. I got that song 4 times yesterday from different people. Let's say one of these women that's married to his brother Shimon is his daughter. Let's say his daughter married her uncle, right? Yes. One example, let's start going to start with one. This girl is Reuven's daughter. So he definitely can't marry her. Not only does he not have to marry her, but he also doesn't marry her. Now you're going to say, okay, well, could he marry if he wanted? The question is not. No, because the answer is no, because that's called a tzaras erva. A tzara could also be translated as a trouble, like a tzara, like tzaros. But in this case, they're talking about co-wives. Okay, so obviously it's not relevant for our day. Today, anyway, we always do a chalitza in this situation, at least for Ashkenazim, and mostly for Tzvartim too, although there are some exceptions, apparently. So this is called a tsaras erva. This is going to get very complicated, because what we're ultimately going to say is, there's also Levi. Now, Reuven comes along, looks at these two of them and says, nope, no beans, I'm related to one of them, and he goes on his merry way. Levi comes along and marries this one. Okay, we're not going to give names in yet. This one...
Levi can't marry that one. That's Eishes Ach. We have to define
Levi. Levi is married to a third girl, but he's also married to...
But Levi's Shimon's brother.
No, because he marries her.
I thought Levi was both of their brothers.
Yeah,
Levi's both of their brothers, but... He's got to marry one of the... One, I think he marries one of the women that's not a problem.
Those are both problems.
All right, let's go through your cases as we go.
A niece, right?
No,
because Eishes Ach. But is it because he's dead? Hmm? Is it because he's dead that he's allowed to marry her afterwards?
No, he's not.
Still not allowed to marry afterwards.
Probably
okay.
Right?
I'm trying to figure out what the Tsaras Tsara is. What's the Tsaras Tsara?
Tsaras Tsara is... What is... Now, remember, Shimon still had a wife.
Yeah.
I mean, Reuven still had a wife. The surviving brother still had a wife.
Oh, yeah, that's her.
Right. Now the surviving brother dies.
Another woman.
Okay.
Oh, he does actual Yibam. He does actual Yibam with Reuven's wife, original wife.
Right.
Once he does Yibam with Reuven's original wife, so then these two wives are connected to her through Reuven originally. When Reuven became the Yevam. So now, is there a third brother? A fourth brother? No. There's no fourth brother.
Not yet.
Okay, let's go through the cases and we'll talk about it. That's sort of the basis of Yevama. We've got Shimon, who's going to die. Shimon's got two wives. We haven't named them yet. And we've got Reuven, his brother. Right? These guys are brothers. Put them on the same plane here. Levi's sitting over here. We're going to talk about him shortly. Okay? So here we have... I don't know if Steven's watching, but... here we have Shimon... And Reuven, Shimon's going to die. Reuven's going to have to marry. Look at these two women to see if he can marry them. Okay. Says the Mishnah. Chamesh Esrei Nashim Potros Tzaroseihen. There are 15 women like this girl that if it comes to the situation of Yibam, she would make it so that no other wife has to marry Reuven. Right? If Shimon dies, so they all look at that. They all look at this girl and say, are you related to Reuven? She's definitely not related to Reuven. But this girl could be related to Reuven, and therefore she doesn't have to marry Reuven either. Okay? There are 15 of these women.
She doesn't have to.
She's not allowed to. Because she doesn't have to, she's not allowed to.
No.
No, you don't do anything. If you can't do Yibam, you can't do Chalitza. Yes. So here's another good term to know. The word that Michael used was Zika. Is Zika an English word? Isn't it like a virus called Zika?
There was.
There was a Zika virus, right? Okay. So we're not talking about that. Zika is the concept that one of these people are connected. Zika is basically that when Shimon dies, there's a connection here, a magnetism. That's Zika, that these two people are connected. They fall to each other, right? So there's a Zika between Reuven and whoever this is. If one of them is related, so then there is no Zika because they're not connected. In a theoretical realm, there's no connection, okay? That's just a word that the Gemara is going to use and Farshim is going to use, so we should... Know the term. So Chamesh Esrei Nashim Potros Tzaroseihen, there are 15 of women that could be related to Reuven that are going to therefore say there's no Yibam because they're related in one way or another, because they're an erva to him. Potros Tzaroseihen, Vitzaros Tzaroseihen, and the Tzara of the Tzara. Like Tzara in law, basically. So here's the situation, right? Shimon has two wives. Sarah and Rivka, okay? This is Sarah, as I said before, and this is Rivka, okay? Rivka is the one, actually, no, because they're going to explain it the other way. Rivka You know, Sarah and Rick, let's keep it like this. Okay, so then Shimon dies with no kids. Shimon's out of the picture. And Sarah at least in our naming process. Sarah, let's call her Sarah, because she's the one that we've been calling the Erva the whole time. Sarah, with the pigtails, she looks like a kid, but Sarah, call her. So Sarah is an Erva of one kind or another. Let's say she's a daughter. Okay? So she can't marry Reuven, and therefore, there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza. Comes Levi. Levi over here, I don't know what he is, a leprechaun or something. No, probably not. He's got a tail.
The green.
He looks French with his beret. So Levi comes along and marries Rivka. No, sorry. Is Miyabim Rivka. Right? So basically, I don't know how he goes to Yibim. How does Levi go to do Yibim with Rivka?
I think he just married Rivka.
He can't marry Rivka. It's got to be Yibim. Okay, basically, somehow he marries her. She was never a problem with Reuven anyway.
Right.
But he marries her for Yibum.
Right, trying to think. Because
he would be available.
He would have been allowed to marry Sarah also.
So this is the interesting thing also, that when it comes to Yibum, any of the daughters can marry any of the guys in order to accomplish Yibum.
Any of the wives.
Any of the wives can marry any of the brothers, right? So these two are looking over here, and they're saying to themselves, well, we can't marry Reuven because, Sarah is related to Reuven. But this guy Levi over here has nothing to do with us. I'm not Levi's
daughter,
so I have no problem.
Niece, but that's not a problem.
Right, niece, not a problem. And therefore, she wobbles along here and marries Levi, okay? To do the Yibum of Shimon. Okay? So now they're married. She was the previous co-wife of Sarah, of Rivka. No, of Sarah. She's Sarah in this case. I already messed myself up. So Levi is married to Rivka, who was previously the co-wife of Sarah. And then he also goes and marries Rachel. We don't have another good Rachel here. Or you ran out of characters. Okay, so this is Rachel. Okay? She's a little young, yes. One's the daughter of the brothers. Vanessa comes to Rachel, fine. And then Levi dies. Right? The bad luck family. Levi dies. Shimon and Levi are both dead. And now, just like Rivka doesn't, and now basically you're looking at Reuven again. Right? He's the last brother. Can we marry Reuven? So before, Rivka couldn't marry Reuven because she was the co-wife of Sarah. Now we're looking at Rivka and saying, well, you still can't.
I'm confused. I thought Rivka was the daughter. So Rivka, in this situation, can never marry.
I thought she was the daughter. That was the first case. The first case.
Right. The point of it is, that even the woman he's not directly related to could cause, I don't remember which one was which.
She's sitting there.
So then even though Reuven was never related to the Levi's, the one that Levi did Yibum with, even if that's the case, he's still not able to marry her because she's a co-wife of the previous co-wife who was an Erva, right?
It's fruit of the poisonous tree.
Type of thing, yeah, exactly. So he still can't marry this girl who wasn't even in the picture. She wasn't even there when the original thing happens, right? She wasn't even related to Levi at all, to Shimon at all. So she comes along innocently and still doesn't marry Reuven because she's now connected to her, who was previously connected to her. Sort of like a transitive property type of thing. So the co-wife of a co-wife, that's Saros saying, okay?
Yeah.
Would children of
such a
union be among
them? No. Yeah, the whole point is l'hakim shem shalachet, to bring about more kids, to carry on the family name. Right? When Shimon dies with no kids, we're worried about his legacy. He's got no kids. Who's going to carry on his name? Right? So we're really trying to carry on the family name. And we're not talking about last names, because Reuben already has whatever. Doesn't matter in terms of last names. It's just in terms of the father. So mina chalitza u'min ha'yivim, from both. You don't do yivim or chalitza. Ad sof ha'olam. What does it mean, ad sof ha'olam? Right? If you had another situation where, you know, Yehuda comes along and marries, you know, Rachel here, and then the whole thing happens again. So that other woman also doesn't go and marry Reuven either, because she's connected to her, who was connected to her, right, the whole thing. Okay? So that's Atzof Olam, and that's what it means, until the end of the world, forever. Forever and ever and ever. The Elohim, and these are the 15 women. Right, these are the 15 categories or statuses of women, this girl, who would disqualify a yibum, a direct yibum, or an indirect, right, a yibum, right, for Rachel, okay?
Back up for 1 second.
Yeah.
Tell me again the girl that was the third wife that came out of nowhere. Where did she come from?
She came just because Levi liked her. Saw her at a bar one day, and doesn't go to bars, but saw her at the park one day on Shabbos afternoon while he was learning. I don't know. Yeah, so she's literally a nobody related in terms of relation, but because she's now a co-wife of the original co-wife of the daughter, so now it's a problem. Okay, so one category that we've already talked about is daughter. The daughter is obviously. And there is a lot of commentary about how exactly this daughter works, because there are other categories that involve a daughter that would presumably be included here. So this could be a daughter from a rape, according to Rashi. Okay, which I know it sounds a little, you know, crazy, but that's how it has to happen in order for the Mishnah to make sense. I don't remember if it's in the Gemara or not, but okay. So the daughter or bas bito, or the daughter of a daughter. Okay, his grandchildren. This is where my own grandpa comes in. You know, because he's marrying his granddaughter, which means he's his own grandfather. Ubas beno, and the daughter of the son. And in halachic terms, all of these are important to list separately, because the Torah lists them separately in one way or another. So bas ishto, or it could be a daughter from the wife's previous marriage. Right, meaning she had a daughter, right, she is the daughter of Reuven's wife from a different marriage beforehand. She, you know, lived with somebody, this construction worker over here, and they had a daughter who then married Shimon. Okay? And now he's saying, well, I'm not really related to either of these girls, but he is because of his wife's previous marriage, which is not a blood relation. It's just you know, son in, I don't know. I don't know what it would call. Not a son in law.
It's a
stepson.
It's
a stepdaughter.
Stepdaughter. Yeah.
Stepdaughter. Not a real daughter. Not a half daughter. Stepdaughter.
Want her daughter to be a co-wife.
Okay, that could be a backstory.
It's not allowed.
Yeah. So bas bina also similarly, the daughter of the daughter of her. I just said that. Oh no, the granddaughter of her. So they get married. She was. Well, it doesn't matter really, but they had a son who then had this as the daughter. This woman as the daughter. And similarly, Bas Vita, the daughter of the daughter. Now we get a little more complicated. We're saying Aim Chamoso.
Oh, you skipped Chamoso.
I did. Oh, Chamoso. Chamoso would be his mother-in-law. If Shimon married Reuben's mother-in-law, you switch around, this is no longer a daughter, this is the mother of his wife, who then goes and marries his brother. Okay, so Shimon dies, and one of the two women is the mother-in-law of Reuben's wife. Do we even know her name? I don't think her name is important to anybody. No, I mean, until now, we haven't even mentioned her.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
I got one shows a later.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's important. The Eim Chamav, and the Eim Chamoso is the mother of the mother-in-law, or Eim Chamav is the mother of the father-in-law. So we don't have enough women for that. But that would be the situation. Achoso Me'imo, the sister from his mother, his half-sister, right? So he's got a half sister. She is his half sister. How does that work? I guess Reuben and Shimon are only brothers from the mother.
From the father.
Only brothers from the father, and that's why Shimon could marry Reuben's half sister, but not his own half sister.
Right.
Because they're from different fathers. Right. That's what I'm saying. Maternal sisters.
But the two brothers have to be paternal brothers.
If they
were full brothers,
he couldn't marry her either.
She would also be his half sister.
Right.
Right.
Okay. The Achos Imo and the sister of his mother, presumably also a different mother. Sister of his mother. The Achos Ishto and the sister of his wife. How is that allowed?
Two brothers marry two sisters,
which is allowed.
Two brothers marry two sisters.
And one of them dies childless.
Right, now I get it. Yeah, okay, I guess there's no problem with that. You're allowed to marry your brother's wife's sister. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. The Eishes Achiv Me'imo, and the wife of the brother from the mother. What was it before? A full brother? Before it was just Achos Ishto, the sister of the wife. Now it's the wife of his half-brother. Right, because Yibo only falls through the father. Okay. Just in case. All the way already on Amud Beis, look at that. Ve'eshes Achiv Shelohaya Ba'olamo. And the wife of the brother who was never alive, who is not alive. Meaning like this. The Levi, there was, Reuven's not born yet. And therefore, we have a different guy, right? This was already Levi, so we can't use Levi. But Yehuda was once alive. He's the oldest brother. He has a crown on, so he's Yehuda. And he was married to her. That situation? Eshes Achiv. Shlohaya Ba'olama.
He says, the first person dies, leaving a widow and a brother.
This guy.
Whoever, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
He dies, he has a widow, and he has a brother.
Widow, brother.
Okay. After his death, now, his mother has another son. The guy who died, his mother has another son.
Okay, let's call it this one.
So.
There were no brothers before. Were there other brothers before? When he's married, he's the only brother, let's say.
No, there's another brother.
Why does it have to be another brother?
Because another brother is going now to do Yibum with the wife of the...
That's later.
Newly deceased one.
No. What's going to happen, if one brother dies.
Yeah.
The second brother does Yibum with his wife. That's not a problem. They're not related. Now, their mother goes ahead and has another son. Now the second brother dies.
Now Shimon ultimately dies.
Now that other son, Levi, cannot marry this woman because he wouldn't have been able to marry her because she was the first brother's wife, and she was, and the only, and he wasn't alive when
this is interesting.
He died.
Because if he would have been alive, she would have fallen to him and Yibum also. The fact that he wasn't alive creates an Eshes Ach, which is not Yibumable.
Right.
And if there's an Eshes Ach, which is not Yibumable, so then that's a retained Ervas Eshes Ach. That's very interesting. That's a very important concept to remember, because usually Eshes Ach is pushed away by Yibum. But if that Eshes Ach existed independent of Yibum, so then it doesn't push it away. It's sort of like a unique case. Eshes Achav Shlo Hayav Olama. So Elu Potros Saros, Harei Elu Potros Sarosem, V'Saros Sarosem, and Afitzim, and Yibum. Oh, I skipped one. Kalasso is
his daughter-in-law.
His daughter-in-law. His daughter-in-law. His daughter-in-law. How does his daughter-in-law marry his brother?
Daughter-in-law was married to his son, right? That's how he's a daughter-in-law. Now
right.
The son dies.
Son dies. Maybe they have kids or they don't have kids. Maybe they do.
Doesn't matter.
He just goes and marries.
So now she's allowed to get remarried.
She's allowed to get married to her uncle.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
To her uncle-in-law, really.
Uncle-in-law. No, uncle. Right? It's his son's wife.
So biologically...
I mean, we call that a person an uncle. Yeah.
We call
that person
an uncle, but...
Right, not a biological uncle, the married-in uncle.
Right.
So that's the kalasta. Okay, so when someone dies, she has married to the daughter-in-law. Okay. Eluhain, harei elu pochas tarasem, taras tarasem, elchisim yalibim, asaf olam. Okay, so that's the situation. Those are the 15 women. As you can imagine, it's going
to
get complicated.
And the Gemara has to explain why it has to repeat that phrase.
Right, because it already said that.
Yeah.
It already said that, right? The Kulan, and all of them, Imesu o Mianu o Nisgarshu o Shenimthis Ilonis Sarosein Mutaros. If the situation was that she, who's always the Erva, right, she dies before Shimon dies, right? So Shimon's always the one that dies because he's the warrior over here. If Shimon dies, so then they both fall to Reuven, that's when the situation is. But if the Erva, the daughter-in-law, the whatever, if she had died already before Shimon died, so then she can marry Reuven, that's not a problem. Similarly, if Mianu, she is the Erva situation, let's say she's like a little girl, and therefore the Nisuin, the marriage that they created, was only Midrabana.
She was a little girl and she was married off Mian. By her.
Right, her father married her off.
No, if her father married off, she can't do Yibum. Mian. Because then it's in Daraisa. It's only if her father is dead and her mother or brother's married.
Somebody else marries her off.
Then
it's Midrabana. So she's only fully married when she comes of age, basically, whatever that age is. And then... So if she objected to the marriage before Shimon dies, right, the person she was going to marry dies only after she said, I don't want to marry you. So then it doesn't fall.
Then it's as if she was,
Never married. She's never in the picture. Not a problem. And now the other one can marry. Okay. And
or
divorced. She's also not in the picture in that situation. Or Nimtu Ilonis. This is going to be one of the most fascinating topics. The Ilonis is the woman who can't give birth. Nimtu Ilonis means we only found out she can't give birth. Something wrong with her biologically.
I mean, I think the best modern medical example would be she got married when she was pre-pubescent.
Mm-hmm.
And then now they're married for many, many years.
They realize
she's
now
20 years old and she never reaches puberty.
Okay. She's never showed signs of puberty.
So
when you find that out, so she's retroactively never married to Shimon. Basically, when Shimon marries her, he's under the assumption she can have kids.
Grow up. Right.
Yeah, she's going to have kids, and therefore we can have a family together. She never does that, and therefore it's not that they're no longer, it's not that they're getting divorced. It's that they were never married, and therefore they're not connected at all, and therefore Shimon could, then either of them, presumably only her, could go and marry Reuben. Okay, those are the four situations that the Sarah, we can name her Sarah, would be Mutaras. Okay. Then the Mishnah goes along and says, wait a second, that can't possibly be true by all of them. Because Iata Yachalomar Bachamosu Be'em Chamosu Ve'em Chamiv Shenitsu Islandis. You can't say if she's the mother-in-law or the father-in-law's mother that she's not a head without children. Otherwise, there's no situation. There's no, it can't be a father-in-law, mother-in-law, granddaughter, whatever. And not grandmother, whatever. They could do the other ones. She can't be found as an islandess. Oshamianu, and similarly, can't be objecting to marriage case because she clearly had children with him. Okay, so all those situations couldn't possibly happen. Ketzad, Potros Sarosay, and how is it? And unclear why the Mishnah goes through this because it almost takes it as an assumption the first time around, but the Mishnah now describes or explains to us how could it be that it can be Potros Sarosay, that they can make it so that she's not able to get married. Haisabita o achos mikol haraos ha'elin nesulos la'achiv, if one of these, her, is married to Shimon, v'lo isha acheres, and then he's got this other wife, so then umes, and he dies, kishem shabito petura, just like she's not unable to marry Reuven, so too, kach tarasa petura, she's not able to marry Reuven either. Okay? V'hocha taras bito v'nistes la'achiv hasheni, and then saras bito, meaning her, goes along and marries the other brother, Achav Hasheni, which is really Achav Hashlishi, but the second brother of the deceased, right? Not the first one who she can't marry, but this one. The Lo Isha Acheres, and he's got another wife, Rachel, Umes, and then he dies. So then, Kishem Shet Saras Bito Batur, just like she was unable to marry Reuven, so too,
she can't.
Sarasa Petura, that's her, this new girl, can't marry Reuven either. Okay, that's what I said before. Afilu Mea, you could go on forever with that type of situation. Another brother marries her, whatever, the whole thing. So Ketzad, how could that happen? Ketzad, in a divorce case. Ketzad imesu Sarosayan Mutaros. How could it be that she becomes okay to marry Reuven? Right? She can become okay to marry Reuven in a case Shahisabito. Right, they were married. And she's the other wife, co-wife. She's at a picture of Yachar, and then he dies. So then Saras and Mutaras, she's allowed to go marry Reuven. Because at the time of the death, she wasn't an Erva at all, a co-wife or an Erva. V'chol hayechola l'ma'in. Anyone who's able to object and doesn't object, so then Sarasa Choletas, right? So basically, she comes of age and says, I don't want to marry you. Uses an arranged marriage without my mother. She doesn't even know me. You know, we're not, you know, but she doesn't officially do it. I don't know. She could object, but she never actually does. If she could object, she never actually does. So then, what do you do? Because she's not disconnected, but she's also not married exactly. So then he comes out, she has to do a chalitza with him, and they can't do yivam. The choletas v'lo misyademes. They can't do yivam. So Gemara then says, michti kuhu me'achos isha. This is just in terms of the drashas. They all learned out from a drasha of achos isha. Yal finan, listen to achos isha b'isha. So you should learn out achos isha in the first time. We'll have to stop there. But we've got all of our pieces together, and hopefully we can make up that last couple lines tomorrow.
Shkara, Rabbi.